live every moment. Glory day, yeah. Cause before you know it, your precious time slipped away.
Hello and welcome along to episode 18 of The Worst Idea of All Time, a podcast in which myself, Tim Batt,
and myself, Guy Montgomery,
watch the film Grown Ups 2. We do it every week. We're doing it for a year. We've done it for over 4 months.
18 weeks of Grown Ups 2, a movie clocking in at 1 hour and 41 minutes and featuring some of Hollywood's heaviest hitters. We've got your Adam Sandler.
We've got Chris Rock.
We've got David Spade.
We've got David Spade.
We've got Steve Buscemi.
And not to mention Kevin James.
And Tim Meadows.
And Maya Rudolph.
Selma Hayek.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Colin Quinn.
Andy Samberg.
Taron Killam.
Patrick Schwarzenegger.
William Forte.
Is he in it? Oh, he's in the fucking... Oh, damn it, now I've ruined it. Shit. Have we missed anyone?
Almost definitely.
Okay. Welcome along to the episode. It's been an interesting watch today, folks. It started out as a grim tale of emptiness and emotional depravity. We thought that this
arguably
was
one of the bleakest starts to the movie we've had.
We thought it was going to be the worst watch ever. But I'll tell you what, we kept drinking beers.
Tim ordered some pizza. We soundtracked the movie intermittently. We'd watch a scene, then choose a song which we thought fit the scene quite nicely. I took some notes.
And we had lollies. So it's turned into quite a magical experience.
It's been lovely.
And this is the second to last one before Guy Montgomery goes over to Europe for a brief intermission.
Potentially 8 weeks. Yeah. 8 weeks of podcasting across the entire globe, across the equator.
We're taking the show international, folks, and we hope that you join us. But let's. I feel like we've got so much ground to cover this week. Should we rip into it?
Well, I think we already have.
The first thing that I can recommend if you're going to watch Grown Ups 2 is BYO
Mushrooms.
No?
I'd say these are both good options.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to work. But I was going to say BYO Soundtrack.
Yeah.
Bring some tunes that you think are good tunes, because this movie is so scarcely soundtracked that you can just run a nice little song under a scene that's going on and it adds a bit of zing. For example, me and Guy took on the fight scene, which is near the end of the movie today. What did you pick?
I picked the Doobie Brothers' What a Fool Believes, and it went really nicely, actually. That sort of slower, it is slightly cheesy pop. You might know this, what a fool believes. It was too high. We'll just put the... Can we...
I'll put it in.
We'll put
this
the music
is it,
in.
This is it here. How that would go with the fight scenes. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it sort of juxtaposes the action with the dulcet tones of the Doobie Brothers. And what did you choose?
Meanwhile, I picked a slightly more up-tempo and newer number, the theme song from Space Jam.
And how does that go? You have to try and sing it.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam, your chance, your chance.
At the start, yeah. It sounded like you were singing a song by Five. Sound like Get On Up by Five.
Hey.
Get on up.
Listen, man.
When you're down, baby, take a good look around.
It's a big Space Jam.
I know it's not much,
it's a big Space
but
Jam
it's
fan.
Okay.
I'm going to take
we'll
that as a disrespect.
Keep on moving on anyway.
We'll try that
get
song next week.
Get on up. When the rainy days are flying.
Hold on.
Keep
hold
on
for
keep
a second.
On trying.
Shut up
all
for
the
a second.
Bees and birds
no,
are
seriously,
flying.
Shut the fuck up. Here's what Space Jam sounds like.
When you let go.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. Alright.
Like gotta hold on it.
Keep
moving, don't stop rocking. I used to love Five. And another one we did was during the tire scene, the Simpsons scene. We've talked about it at length, ad nauseum through the podcast. I'd say the whole podcast. I don't quite know the definition of the turn of phrase ad nauseum. I know it means when something
to
has
to the
been,
point of being ill. Like you do something
I think,
repeatedly.
Well, the whole podcast concept is...
Yeah,
I mean,
we should have called it ad nauseum. Tim and Guy present ad nauseum.
Ah, you live and you learn. We can do it next year when we do it with Grown Ups 3.
Yeah, too true.
Anyway, we played Shania Twain, Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Let's go, girls.
Worked really well for that scene, for that tire scene. Really
it did.
Well.
Also, I took notes, as I did last week. I thought it was a really useful sort of sort of thing to do in terms of giving us reference points or bits that jutted out throughout the viewing. So I'm just going to throw some stuff at you, Tim, and you can tell me how you feel.
Please.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The first thing you told me to write down today was Hiccups and Higgins.
Yeah, never noticed it before.
Can you explain what this is?
So David Spade's character's last name is Higgins, and he gets referred to just as Higgins for most of the film. And the person who he had the kid with that he didn't know about is only named as Hiccups McGee, and he calls her more often than not Hiccups. So Higgins and Hiccups had a kid together. I just found that interesting. Or maybe lazy script writing.
I think that is...
Or maybe I'm reading too much into
it. Yeah, I think that is definitely a product of watching the movie too many times. And it would be interesting if they got married, though, and she took his surname, because her name's not Hiccups.
No, not legally. So it's just because they couldn't be bothered writing. Like, that's the ultimate laziness in script writing, eh? You can't even bring yourself to name the character.
And then the next thing after this, which you sort of encouraged me to write down, which was of interest to me, not really related to the movie, I'd be interested if you can tell me what prompted it, but you just said sort of about 20 to 30 minutes in, Steve Jobs, in the early days of Apple, wouldn't hire anyone who hadn't tried acid before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what brought that on?
Yeah, it was because I announced it when the two boys are considering drinking the beers or not. Well, they don't even consider drinking it. They go, I don't know if I'm ready for beer. They're 17 years old. If you're not ready for beer, guess what? You're not ready for life, mate. Life is going to knock you on your goddamn ass.
Well, this comes from a guy. Another thing I wrote down during the film was you said when they said they weren't ready for beer at 17, Tim Batt said, I was drinking beer at 13.
Yeah. That wasn't for the podcast, it was more just for you, but you can bring it on here if you want.
What a cool dude.
My point being, you got to try new things. And my point being, that's exemplified by one of the greatest entrepreneurial minds of our time,
Steve Jobs. What do you think about Steve Jobs' no non-acid employees policy? Surely good people come from both of those walks of life.
Completely. Like, it's not a universal rule. But I think as a rule of thumb, it's kind of an interesting one. That in the early days of Apple, he wouldn't hire anyone who hadn't done acid.
Considering the success of what Apple would become, it is certainly...
He was a visionary. And apparently he used to ask people point blank, and they interpreted it as being like... Because if you got asked at IBM, for example, which was like the competing company, if you're a computer guy, if you got asked if you'd ever done drugs before, your answer had to be no. But if your answer was no at Apple, ironically, they wouldn't hire you. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's funny. Imagine the really talented computer programmer who goes to Apple and they go, have you tried acid before? And he goes, no. And then they go, sorry, you can't work here. And then he goes to IBM and they go, have you tried acid before? And he goes, well, I'm not falling for this one again. I surely have. And then he gets blacklisted from Silicon Valley.
God, how many geniuses have we goddamn lost because of the inconsistency in the drug policy?
At IBM and Apple. These are the questions, the tough, hard questions that we pose on a weekly basis here at The Worst Idea of All Time.
This is where your mind goes when you've seen an Adam Sandler film 18 times. Hey, quick divergence. We're going to go see Blended at some point, hopefully before you head off to Europe, which is the new Adam Sandler movie.
When's its release date here?
I think it's out now, isn't it?
Oh, well, hopefully. The Cheap Tuesday boys are going to shout us a trip to an Adam Sandler movie. I don't think they realise the last thing we want to do is be...
it's a treat. It's not a fucking treat.
It's a treat for them.
It's horrid. And I've seen the trailer. It looks truly bad.
I can't remember if I talked about it on the podcast or in person with some people, but I watched Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore being interviewed by Ellen DeGeneres on The Ellen Show for this movie, Blended.
I still haven't seen that.
It was really bleak. Like, it was like everyone who was on Ellen DeGeneres' couch, and Ellen is a really uplifting show. I mean, she's a fantastic host.
Yeah.
She was trying to sort of will some sort of entertainment value out of it, and it was just like, it was like Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore had been asked to their partner's dinner party, and like just before they go out the door, they're like, "Oh, do I really have to go?" And they go, "Yes, come on, we'll just stay for an hour, and then we can go home afterwards. It'll be fine."
Oh,
and
man.
So it's like watching them at that dinner party where they're going.
Ellen is one of the most fun shows I could imagine being on. If you can't even muster the energy to promote
it's not about
the
show; it's what the product that they were promoting.
No,
was.
But it is a lot like. I'm pretty sure I could go on Ellen and sell dog turds and have fun with it because it's
could
Ellen.
Could you sell this podcast on Ellen?
Absolutely, bro. I'd have so much. You come with me, but we'd have such a good time.
What if they didn't ask me? What if they only wanted you?
No, man. I would insist on it. I'd say, I'm not there unless you bring in Guy Montgomery. And they'd say, we're not bringing Guy Montgomery. And I'd say, wow, you only get one shot at Ellen. I'm there. Sign me up. Sorry, bro.
It's all right.
Well, what would you do in that situation? You go on Ellen.
If they said what?
If they see Guy Montgomery, we want to talk to you about worst idea of all time. We've only got room for you on the couch. Tim can't come. He didn't win the Billy T.
Bullshit. I've seen that couch.
No, they've packed it with guests. There's other guests on.
Who are
you
the guests? How it works.
So here's who we got. Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Okay. He's on your couch, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Selma Hayek's there, which is kind of why they've brought you in.
Yeah.
Okay. We've also got Bill Gates is there to talk about the foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And weirdly, former President Barack Obama is there as well.
So
it's pretty big.
Former president. So this is happening, what?
2017.
So they discovered the podcast.
Yeah.
Several, like 3 years after the fact.
Yeah.
And thought, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, I mean, having it set in the future changes the whole tone of the question because we might not even be... I'm imagining that within 52 watches of this movie, we will have fallen out.
Yeah, fair.
So I'd go and I'd cuss you out on...
Oh, really? Because that's a big leap.
Well, because if we've fallen out,
yeah.
It's over some sort of disservice one of us has done.
Yeah, but you don't need to cuss me out on international television.
I'm going
to
put spit on it.
Dude, there's no need for that.
Even now, look at how frail our relationship is. A hypothetical appearance on the Ellen Show in 2017 is threatening to drive a stake through our working relationship in June 2014.
Yeah, because I didn't bring up shading you on international
television. Yeah, but you also didn't give me the opportunity to bring up the hypothetical that you were in. If I gave that to you, if I posited it to you that we're in 2017
I'm at the very worst, I would just... go on without you. I wouldn't cuss you out in front of everyone.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have done the thing that you're inevitably going to do towards the tail end of this podcast.
Shit. But imagine if you got to meet Obama, eh? How cool would that be?
I don't know what to talk to him about.
Really? You can think of anything?
Oh, man, it must be so relaxing now you're not president.
Yeah, that'd be a good conversation starter. And he'd pick up that ball and run with it. He's a really good conversationalist.
Well, it's a big part of the job, isn't it, as a politician?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you rather have, politics aside, would you rather have David Cunliffe or John Key over for dinner? Oh, no.
I reckon John Key, to be honest, politics aside. I feel like he's just like, he'd be a better time. Cunliffe's so guarded. I feel like he's so guarded.
Isn't
all
that
the
a success of the image that John Key has projected?
Yeah, it completely is. Yeah. Well, or is it? I don't know.
I mean, I know that we have a big listenership in Great Britain.
Not to mention South Korea.
And Turkey. So I think we should maybe move
off. Quick shout out to our listeners in Cyprus.
We should move over from local politics.
No, hold on. Let's name check all the countries.
We're alienating the listeners. Anyway, so as it was greatly received last week when I documented all of the lines afforded to Braden Higgins, son of David Spade's character in the film. He had a grand total of 20. And at the end of the podcast, I pitched the lines to you, Tim, as you'll recall.
#summertime.
#summertime. So this week, I have instead documented the lines afforded to Keith Fader, son of Adam Sandler.
Keithy!
Possibly my least favourite. Tim's probably second least favourite character in the film.
Yeah. Second to last.
Of course, Donna is the least.
We all know that. Hey, just a quick shout out to all the countries listening. New Zealand.
Woo! The United Kingdom.
Woo! Australia.
The United States.
Other regions.
Yeah! Canada.
France.
Belgium.
The Republic of Korea.
Morocco.
Who's in Morocco? I don't know anyone in Morocco.
Look, This is something we should do in private.
Yeah, sorry.
In private.
So, okay, let's hear it. Keithy.
So, Keithy, son of Adam Sandler. Should I pitch it? I mean, why don't we do a top three of these lines? I don't think we should run through all the lines again.
Okay, so 22 in title. Okay, you can just pick three because you write them down, so you'll be more familiar.
Okay.
You'll be across them.
These are the lines I imagine when he combed through the script and highlighted the lines that he had been given. These are the ones which jumped out and said...
And I'm sorry to railroad you just before you start, but 22 is not a lot of lines. I thought he had way more than that.
I know. Well, he starts off hot, but then right. There's huge swaths of the film in which he doesn't appear at all.
Right.
22 is only two more than Braden Higgins. Yeah. I'm wondering if there's a formula wherein all of these periphery characters only get between 20 and 25 lines.
This arcs back to the tax write-off scenario that I posited early on in the podcast. I reckon maybe if you go over 25 lines, you have to pay them an extra amount of money.
I feel like we could be stumbling into one of the greatest conspiracy theories Hollywood's ever seen right now.
Let's hear our top three.
Okay, our top three. I was trying to avoid a big idiot trying to hurt me on the bus this morning, but he wouldn't leave me alone. So there he is being sort of standoffish, afraid, and fair enough too. Then here's a sign, sort of him being a bit goofy and aggressive towards his older brother, Greg. He's the chicken who asked her out, Dad, because she's the hottest girl in school. And Greg is fugly. And then Adam Sandler goes, so what, he's fugly? All the men in our family are fugly.
Doesn't
but that doesn't stop us from getting the hot chicks. I mean,
look at your mother.
You mean look at your mother. That doesn't make any sense.
Only in like a Hollywood movie.
Okay, and the top line, drum roll please. Yeah, one crazy ass one.
Oh,
there's a little acting tick that Keith has, and every time he says crazy, his arms go wild and he flails them by his ears. Like he doesn't have any control over his limbs when the word crazy is involved.
Yeah, one crazy ass one. Which is, of course, when at the very start of the movie, the deer is running wild through the house. And Becky explains, I just let the door open in case any animals wanted to come in. But one did. And then that's
right.
Says,
now, and for those of you at this point in the podcast who are thinking, Tim and Guy, stop ragging on the movie. It's a fine movie. This isn't my shining light. We'll get to that right afterwards. But this is a triumph of the film.
Yeah.
At one point when Chris Rock is being a negligent, not only employee to the cable company he works for, but also to his mother-in-law.
Yeah.
He has one job on the day that the movie set, Friday the 21st of June 2013.
Yeah, we paused it on his watch.
Which is to install cable at his mother-in-law's house between the hours of 9 and 4.
Uh-huh.
And he sits outside and waits till it's 3:59 and doesn't do it. Anyway, that's aside the point. We did pause it. This is the point, is that we paused it.
We paused it on his wristwatch.
We paused it on his wristwatch, and then Tim said, wait a minute, was the 21st of June last year even a Friday? So I checked my calendar, and yes, it was. Well played, grown-ups too. Moreover, though, Tim said, well, do we know that the state holidays in Connecticut time out with that time of year in June?
Is that the end of the school term,
so
which is the last
day? I Googled Connecticut term holidays.
Yeah.
And this year, the term holidays have fallen on Friday the 20th of June, which tells me that last year,
yeah,
in 2013, the last day of school would have fallen on Friday the 21st of June.
So they fucking nailed
it. So
this.
Fucking well played, grown-ups, too.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of shit that you fucked up in this movie and a lot of lazy script writing, but I'll tell you something. You saw the convergence of the end of the school term heading into summer and a Friday, and you picked up that ball and you cashed in the ball.
That's right.
To mix a metaphor.
And I'm proud of you.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tim, now it is time for your shining light.
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Remember that scene at the start of the movie where Becky and Bean, who are Kevin James's kid and Adam Sandler's kid, ride off on their bicycles?
Yeah.
Well, if you look behind Adam Sandler in that sequence, the plant that's behind him looks a lot like a weed plant, like marijuana.
Is that really
looks like
it?
Hemp. Yep, that's my shining light. It was a toss-up between that and all of the caps that Adam Sandler wears in the movie, but this week I've gone with
also,
the hemp
you
plant.
Asked me to sort of suggest to you Becky wearing her JanSport backpack.
Yeah, I told you to write that down.
Was that just a trigger for the hemp
plant? No, it wasn't. I changed it after, like, because I saw the backpack first. My original shining light of the movie this week was that Becky's wearing a JanSport backpack, which is a fucking quality backpack.
It's a good brand of backpack. It's sort of Herschel good. Before Herschel came onto the scene.
Exactly. And there's still, what I like about them is Herschel has taken a particular space in the backpack market where they're a little bit more expensive, but obviously high quality and they look the tits.
I think they more look the tits than they are high quality. I got a Herschel backpack.
How did it wear? The seam
is at the top part is sort of coming apart.
After how much use, like, how much wear?
Like a year and a half of reasonable wear.
Because, I mean, you're not fucking hiking in it or anything.
No.
I can't have been subjected to
it's just wearing it around.
Much.
I was wearing it a lot. I was overseas. I was wearing it like most days.
Mm-hmm.
But still.
I feel like a JanSport would hold up to more than a year
absolutely.
And a half of punishment. That's what I love about JanSport, man. What, you spend $30-$40 on a backpack. That thing will last you 3-4 years.
Yeah, absolutely. My shining light was an extra. There's a scene where the principal is announcing the end of term and sort of saying education doesn't run to a set schedule. Which is, I mean, a great message, and obviously a takeaway from the film for any high school students listening is education or tertiary students doesn't run to a set schedule. You're constantly learning and evolving as a person. Even right now, as you listen to this, this in some way will be informing your personal makeup and I think what I'm trying to say is that I learned this from a guy named Simon Pound, very intelligent guy. He said every dollar you spend is a dollar towards the world you want to live in. So as a consumer, you have to make a conscious decision that every time you give someone or some company a dollar, that's you essentially giving them a vote that says, this is part of the global economy in which I want to exist.
Wait, where did we start from with this?
So my shining light was there was an extra in the background of this classroom, and the principal was saying that it's the start of summer, and she was kicking her feet up and down heaps with excitement. She was either in character or really excited that they were about to finish shooting for the day, but she was kicking her feet with reckless abandon, and I thought, good on you, teenager.
How does this relate to the democratic nature of a free market consumer society?
Oh, it doesn't. I got slightly sidetracked in the middle of the shining light.
Do you know what I like about that scene is that they've really gone to great efforts to paint the teacher as a real peacenik. Like, there's an American flag that instead of having the stars and the stars and stripes, it's got the peace symbol and stuff. And there's just a lot of... And again, the set dresses on this movie, mwah, amazing, 10 out of 10. There's, like, so much detail that's gone into that classroom to really just elevate his character with a lot of just little touches.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing we talked about a lot during this viewing was how well this movie is shot. Like, the DOP in this movie, and I mean this completely genuinely, hats off to you, mate, because... Everything's
framed. We know you're
really
listening.
Well.
We know you've been waiting for the compliment.
I know you've
tip
been
of the hat
on.
To you.
So whoever the DOP is of Grown Ups 2, and I really mean this, you worked on a terrible, terrible film, but you really brought the noise with what you did.
Okay, Tim.
So well done.
Now it's time for a guessing game. Is this a line delivered by Keith during Grown Ups 2, or is this just a line I've made up? Okay?
Here we go. I'll close my eyes. Here we go.
Leave me alone.
That is from the movie. And it is... Oh, it's when he's talking to the bully with the Mariah Carey haircut. Which bit is it? Is it on the bus? No. Oh, okay. It's when the bully is stabbing the crutch into him, and he says it very off mic, so you're trying to trick me with that. And it's he's almost in the back of the shot during the party scene near the end of the film. Right or wrong?
Well, if he does say it there, I might have missed it.
Oh, damn it.
He
did
said
you make
that,
it up?
No, I didn't make it up. It wasn't the movie. Oh. It was on the bus on the way to school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's...
Anyway, I think one is the right number for that game. It doesn't really work.
It doesn't really work unless you've seen the film 18 times. Now, there's been some talk about Grown Ups 3 recently, and I'd just like to say and reiterate my and Guy's commitment that if it does come out, we'll be watching it once a week for 2 years. So if that doesn't get it across the line, I don't know what will. Right? We've talked about this.
We have not talked about that.
I just sprung it on you now.
I mean, I'd do a year.
Would you do two? That's actually a big chunk of life, eh?
I wouldn't do two. Because that's like I'm marrying myself to you in some weird way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that we're not getting along, but, you know, pertaining to what came up earlier in the podcast, I do forecast some sort of falling out by the end of the experience. Now, Tim, before we go, one last thing I'd like to touch on. In between watching the movie and recording the podcast today, we watched deleted scenes.
Oh,
they're available
that's what I forgot
to bring
up.
Available on YouTube.
Yeah.
There was about 6 minutes of them, and it's hard to tell whether or not it was because it was a variant on something that we'd seen so often or something else, but... they cut a lot of the best gags.
Fuck yes. Like, I was shocked. And you're right, it might be just because it's fresh and we've seen the rest of the film 18 times, but the stuff they cut was fucking funny.
It was gold. Namely, one scene involving Officer Dante and Officer Shaquille O'Neal. Listen to that. Tim Bat is just laughing at the memory of it. We're not going to tell you about it. If you want to see it, you have to look it up on YouTube and see for yourself.
I'll give you one clue, though. Shaq screams into
a detained child's face.
What's his name?
Braden Higgins'
face. Can you dig it? Right into his fucking face. It's so funny.
It is.
God damn it, it's good. And also, there's a great crack that Maya Rudolph makes, which I think is the best delivered line that I've seen him make in the film, and unfortunately was cut from the film, obviously.
Even Penny could give her husband a boner in one of these.
Yeah, which she's referring to a dress.
It is actually quite a saucy dress. I mean, I think they cut it because I'm not saying the film doesn't have a confused tone, but that was what might have pushed it over the edge from a PG to a PG-13.
Yeah. Look, we've covered a lot of the ground tonight, and as Jeremy Wells would say in Eating Media Lunch, and that's our show. Thanks so much for joining us on the Worst Idea of All Time, episode 18. It's been a pleasure having you along. My name's Tim Batt.
My name's Guy Montgomery. Remember to like the page on Facebook if you want regular updates on how depressing our weeks are.
Who sounds desperate now? We'll see you guys next week. Remember, live every moment, love every day, yeah.
Because before you know it, your precious time slips away.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.